50 years ago. What time does it say?
1 o'clock.
Well, Ashley, should I go in?
Yes.
Do you remember just kind of go out there?
Sure.
Right. Yeah, out there I think would be perfect.
Tim Leary's, right?
Yeah.
No, Gary Snyder.
Gary, yes. Years ago, at 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we gathered in the polo fields. I'm going to read what Alan had written in the Oracle. The Oracle and all the staff and the street people, all of us, they all were part of the beginnings of an incredible movement, which is still going on. A union of love and activism, previously separated by categorical dogma and label mongering, will finally occur aesthetically when the Berkeley political activists and the hip community in the San Francisco spiritual generation and the contingents from the emergent revolution are generated all over California, meet for the gathering of the tribes, for the human being in the polo fields of Golden Gate Park on Saturday, January 14th at the polo fields from 1 to 5 p.m. And here we are 50 years ago. I'm going to read a little bit more. Alan wrote this for an announcement of the first human being in the San Francisco Oracle in the fifth issue. To 50,000 people are expected to gather for a joyful powwow with peace, dance, to be celebrated with leaders, guides, and the heroes of our generation. Timothy Leary will make his first Bay Area public appearance. Allen Ginsberg will chant and read with Gary Snyder, Michael McClure, Lenore Kandel, Dick Albert, Dom Ross, Jerry Rubin, Dick Gregory, and Jack Weinberg will speak. Music will be played by all the rock bands, including the Grateful Dead, Big Brother and the Holding Company, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and many more. Everyone is invited to bring costumes, blankets, bells, flags, cymbals, drums, beads, feathers, flowers. Now, in the evolving generation of America's young, the humanization of the American man and woman can begin in joy, embrace, without fear, dogma, or suspicion. No dialectical righteousness. A new concert of human relations being developed within the youthful underground and must merge, become conscious, and be shared, that a revolution of form can be filled with the renaissance of compassion, awareness, and the love, and the revelation of the unity of all mankind. The human being is a joyful, face-to-face beginning of a new epic. So yeah, here we are. So it's all about everyone, so yes. Let's just share.
Thank you for bringing us together.
Yeah.
Annie.
Yeah, you want to, somebody just, I'm not good at this kind of stuff, so I'm going to step back.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah. I'm going to come over here.
I'm going to be reading some passages out of a book of Milton today. This is probably the third time it's been read publicly. I'm honored to be here amongst friends and family honoring the 50th BN. Our goal was to celebrate each other and the love and creativity that all humanity possesses. And the way we do that is by embracing each other in a space that is safe and sacred, and coming at each other with open hearts in time and space. So the first thing I'd like to read today is called Hope, because I think we need hope. And without hope, life can be relatively bleak. So, to dream of a new day, to try, to persevere, to chase a new direction, a new dream. Strength from inside, from others, to fortify the soul, to persevere with patience. To learn and grow and find a worthy goal, strength to get there, with a lot of help from your friends. Love to complete the cycle and recharge the soul and help each other. Blue and red turns yellow and gold, and once again you find yourself whole. Hope, strength, patience, love, determination, contentment, life, and always hope.
Pages of the Oracle, what was happening January 14th in 1967. And somebody want to come and read a couple of these things for me? You know, Joyce, do you want to come do that? Yeah, come around over here this way, sweet friend. Yeah, just come on around. This was in the Trips Free News, so can you read some of these things? Can you come on over here? You can get over to the microphone. I think if we started here January 14th, you know, and I think what it's going to tell you is we're going to have to go over, maybe this wasn't a good idea, maybe I can't really do this. We have to go over who played that things. I'm not very good at this.
Okay, so you want me to start here?
Yeah, right around there. Just so
at the Fillmore?
Yeah, the Fillmore. Does
right,
it say
do
who
it
they're
like
reading?
Better.
Okay,
I
yeah.
have to keep this up.
Okay, well then come on over here and put the microphone.
Okay, it's saying it. Okay, so it's, hi, I'm Joyce. I didn't make it to the BN because I was only 14 and I was in New Jersey, but I did make it to the Haight-Ashbury when I turned 19 and lived there for a while, and then I've been here now 22 years in San Francisco. So, okay, so I'm happy to share today with everybody. And then I'm looking at the days. Well, I'm going to start right here. The Fillmore Auditorium, Junior Wells, The Grateful Dead, The Doors.
So they played in the evening, that means
nine to two.
So after the Grateful Dead were playing in the Polo Fields, they went on over there to play, and they continued on. What a group. Youth.
With the Doors.
Right.
Although it says Doors L.A., so maybe the Doors were in L.A.
No, I think that's probably just...
Oh, that they're from L.A.? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows? Okay, then we've got the Avalon Ballroom, the Charlatans, the Sparrow, Moby Grape. All these concerts were $2.50, by the way.
Yeah, $2.50. I like that price.
And then at the Sparrow was Moby Grape.
Wow.
Berkeley Community Theater was The Mamas and the Papas. Wow, 8 p.m. And then that was on Friday. Now, Saturday, January 14th, oh, it was the same at the Fillmore, and it was the same at the Avalon, so they did it both days.
So, Joyce, are you saying that they played the night before?
Yes.
And what time did they play, from what time to what time?
They played from 9 to 2.
So at 2 o'clock, and then they started over here, everybody started. Well, they had a lot of the, who was here? Is anybody here that was there
At the Dead Show at the Fillmore that night?
Well, probably along the way. Hi, did I just see Yana? Is that Yana? Thank you, sweetheart. I didn't. Okay. You know, I'm going to continue. I'm going to go on. Thanks. Okay. A hug. Hug. Okay. Do you have something that you wanted to say or do or come on? Yeah? Okay, do we have anyone here that has something else they wanted? I know that this gentleman, you found something you wanted to read, didn't you? Out of the Oracle. I need to get a hug from you. Okay. Right. Okay. Right. While I'm waiting for you, you've got it. I'll read the, this was the Declaration of Independence that they wrote. This is when it was for October 6, 1966. This was the first Love-In concert, first outside concert. And Alan wrote this. A prophecy of a declaration of independence. When in the flow of human events, it becomes necessary for the people to cease or recognize the obsolete social patterns which have isolated man from his consciousness, and to create with the youthful energies of the world revolutionary communities of harmonious relations with which the 2 billion year old life process entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind should be declared the causes which impel them to this creation. We hold these experiences to be self-evident, that all is equal, that the creation endows us with certain inalienable rights, that among them are the freedom of body, the pursuit of joy, the expansion of consciousness, and that to secure these rights, we the citizens of the earth declare our love and compassion for all conflicting, hate-carrying men and women of the world. We declare the identity of flesh and consciousness of world. We declare the identity of flesh and consciousness. All reason must respect and protect these holy identities. Yes, that was for October 6, 1966. Are you ready? Yes. Did you find it? Okay, great. Tell us your name, our guy that started us off this morning.
Hello, my name is Nate Paluga. I'm a city guide for San Francisco Public Library, and I give a tour of Haight-Ashbury, a walking tour, and I talk about this history and the birth of the hippies movement that occurred 50 years ago today, right here where we're standing. I'm just going to read a portion out of the Oracle newspaper. The advent of the world teacher. The significance of one of the great revelations of our time has been largely overlooked. except by occultists. It has been 12 years since the newspaper announcement that on the evening of December 2, 1954, Pope Pius XII announced that he had experienced a divine vision with the words, "This morning I saw the Lord." This event marked the descent of the Christos, the archetypical Christ, to the astral plane, preparatory to manifesting in the world of men. During the following year, mystics working with the spiritual hierarchy of the planet quietly exchanged information about contacts similar to that reported by the Pope, contacts which served to raise the vibrations of the initiates concerned and to stimulate their capacity to meditate on behalf of the enlightenment of the planet as mediators between humanity and the hierarchy. This descent also marked an important step in preparation for manifestation in the world of men. A great being such as this Bodhisattva can manifest in multiple forms through a sort of grace or spiritual seed, or through forming a temporary union or overshadowing of physical bodies already prepared for his use. Many have wondered whether the late President Kennedy may not have been thus divinely overshadowed during his last years, as his ideals served to inspire the entire world. By inspiring a succession of initiates, or using a series of physical bodies prepared for his use, great hierarchical beings can dwell in their Samkhya bodies by subtle matter and transfer from one physical body to another for active work. Mystics such as St. Teresa of Avila and Jacob Boehm experience the Christos as an intimate spiritual experience, and later as a component of their very selves. It is only our own spiritual ignorance and lack of entire enlightenment that does not recognize the latent spiritual process that brings forth the immanent divinity within every man and woman. In Evelyn Underhill's book, Mysticism, she says, "The incarnation, which is for traditional Christianity synonymous with the historical birth and earthly life of Christ, is for mystics of a certain type. Not only this, but also a perpetual cosmic and personal process." Wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was great.
Blessings upon the earth.
Right. Okay, thanks so much. Alan was a poet, and I love to read his words. I've been enjoying listening to friends' stories and sharing words from the past, present, future. The rebirth's a forest. The wind is blowing light, serious clouds through the blue skies. Leaves are talking in 10,000 voices. I let the sun slip through my closed eyelids and play with the light. I walk across the park. A golden snake shimmies down the asphalt path in front of my feet. Today, I celebrate the discovery that trees return 50 to 75% of rainfall to the atmosphere by respiration and evaporation, more than seas or rivers do when the rain runs off bare mountains or plains into the capillary rivers. Those wondrous ancient cultures that have burned their forests for heat and firing pottery and disappeared, leaving deserts in their place. Now, 200,000 acres of forests a day are being cut from the Amazon and parts of Africa and Asia, eliminating thousands of species and diminishing oxygen and rainfall. And here we are, selling off Americans' forest. Less than 3% of the original redwood forest left in California. When will we plant 200,000 acres of trees a day or even a month to increase rainfall, downwind, and bring back dark forests, fertility, oxygen, habitats for plants and animals and precious life-giving rains before drought and desert dissolve more lives and cultures? We are bound together, earth, air, water, plants, one embrace, one deep, long, timeless breath, in and out, in and out. Yet we tear away that embracing caress. So, no, this was Alan's. These are Alan's words. Does somebody else have something we want to come on up and... Bob, we want to come. Yes, please.
You should jump over these logs.
Yeah, just come around. Thanks.
I'm going to have to fix this up for my wheelchair next.
Well, but here we are, right? Thank you so much. Can you come around and get in there?
Hi. My name's Bob. Most people know me as Barf Bucket Bob from Rock Medicine. I've been a Rock Med volunteer for 30 years now, and I'm going to talk about my boss, Dr. David Smith, the founder of the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. It all started back in, is this being taped?
Yes.
I'm just hearing an echo in the speaker here. And then I forget where I'm at. Back in 67, Dr. Dave had graduated UC. He was working up at UC on Parnassus, and his job was experimenting with the mice. Gave them LSD, gave them speed, let them run mazes. And then, right after the BN, they had a big event up at UC, where Timothy Leary came to speak to all the interns and doctors. And they had a big meeting there. And as Timothy Leary does, he passed out samples to all the interns, and they marched down to Haight Street. And Haight Street had new color. Of course, there was usually about 2,000 people per block back then in 67. It was hard to get through. When someone spotted Timothy, they said, "We have a medical clinic, and we need you to come on up and help." They went to where the clinic is now, at 558 Clayton Street, on the corner. They went upstairs. It was a converted dentist office, and they had three trippers rolled up in rugs. And that's how they handled trippers back in the day. They just roll them up so they couldn't hurt themselves when they were flailing. Timothy Leary looked and said, "Whoa, bad juju here. These guys are thinking bad thoughts. I think I'm leaving." And one of the guys helping out says, "Is there a doctor here who could write a script for a Valium to help this guy come down?" Dr. Dave whipped out his pad, wrote the scripts. They went down and seen Bernie at Pacific Pharmacy. They got the Valiums, and they asked the doctor to come back. And that was the beginning of the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic. Dave had numerous people. They had meetings. And in the meetings, they come up with what I call the Magna Carta. They handwrote what they needed. One of them typed it in. They all went over it in their pencil and marked the changes they need. And finally, they had a printed version. You gotta remember, this is a little bit before the internet and a little bit before home computers. And that was laid out saying, on June 7th, 1967, we're gonna open up the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic. Back in them days, it was called Free Medical. free medical didn't mean no money. What free medical meant was they will treat anyone. Most of you people here don't remember the 60s and the 50s when there were colored hospitals and white hospitals. And Dr. Dave took a trip to Watts, and he seen a sign saying free medical. And he asked the colored doctor there what that means. And he said, that means we treat white and black people. No segregation here. When Dave opened up his clinic, he put free medical on the door. It got the Haight-Ashbury name because a year later, Berkeley had a free clinic. And then everyone had to say, oh, I'm going to the Haight-Ashbury free clinic, or I'm going to the Berkeley free clinic. From then on, the clinic has grown. 5 years ago, they merged with HealthRight 360, and they're still alive in the Haight-Ashbury. Anything else you want to know about the Haight-Ashbury free clinic?
I'd like to say thank you. I think that's some profound work, and it's amazing.
I have the lowest job at the clinic. I don't work at the clinic. I work at RockMed, the part that goes out to concerts, and my job is to clean barf buckets and help load the truck.
And that helps everybody.
Occasionally, I get to lay on a naked tripper. But since Jerry died, back then we used to have 8 to 12 a show. Now we get 2 or 3 a season. So...
Can I say something about the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic?
Knock yourself out.
Thanks, Bob.
I was a teenager when I moved to the Haight-Ashbury, and I had a daughter. And we used to go to the Russian Bakery. Does anyone remember the Russian Bakery on Haight? It's a tattoo parlor now. And if you look to the right of the door going into the place, it was on Haight between Schrader, I think Schrader and Cole. Okay, so my friends and I used to go every morning to the Russian Bakery and have breakfast and let our kids go play outside. So one day, my daughter, who's now 49, going on 49, comes in with a bag of sugar cubes. Okay, it's a paper bag. Inside the paper bag is a plastic bag with sugar cubes. And I said to her, you didn't eat any of those, did you? She said, no. And the kid next to her said, Mom, she ate 3. So what did I do? I took her to the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. And when I went up there, I told the doctor what happened. He took the sugar cubes and said, we'll run a test on them. And then he said, have you ever tripped before? And I said, yes, of course. So he said, well, there's 2 options. We can send her to the hospital and get her stomach pumped, or you can take her home and just give her a nice trip. He said, if she gets her stomach pumped while she's tripping, it's going to be hell. So I went home with her. When I was walking with her, I don't think she's ever done this. But really, she grabbed my hand and started going, wee, wee. I think she was seeing trails. And then, I don't know if it was my paranoia or fear or whatever, but I tripped with her all night with candles. She's my kid. I was 16 when I had her. She was about 3 or 4. We bonded. She was tripping her ass off. And the proof of it is that when I went back to get the results of the test, the person there said, at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, the person there said, oh, we lost those. No, we don't have those. So then I knew for sure she was tripping and I was tripping with her. So that's my Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic.
That was your kid? That was your daughter? Your daughter?
She's like 49 now.
That is so funny.
Yeah, she works in a law firm. She's doing really good.
That was a great story. Thanks, Joyce.
Hi. I'm Richard. I was not here in 1967, but this all did have an influence on me. So
You live in the Haight-Ashbury.
I presently live in the Haight-Ashbury.
And
it's a very wonderful neighborhood still. Great sense of community. Hope everybody here is continuing to be, as this is a be-in. So about 10 years ago, I wrote something kind of honoring the influence that the be-in and the preceding and following years have had on me. So this is called Summer of Love Redux. It wasn't the first time we've been told there's more to life than work or school. There's something happening here. Plato knew we lived in the shadows, but the generation that first grew up with Plato strove to leave the cave. 20 years of schooling and they put you on the day shift. The most educated population in history didn't want to repeat the same mistakes. The war to end all war didn't. No more striving to gain the world and lose the soul. Free your mind instead. We read the Beats, Artaud, Rimbaud, I Ching, the Tao, Gita. Holy cow! TV advertised better living through chemistry, and we took it to heart. Plenty more, this is just a start. All you need is love. But what is love? Here's one answer. A genuine desire for another's well-being. You may have another answer, but please have one. After all, what would a summer of love be without love? 50 years later, my hair's turning white, my skin's showing its age. Maybe I should be celebrating an autumn of love. But I hear Maria sing, one summer just isn't enough. And I agree. So join me in remembering the past, living the present, and making the future better. Give peace a chance. After all, what's so bad about peace, love, and happiness? May we experience it for ourselves and for all others. Thank you.
People are just arriving, just showing up, and I'm hoping that this will continue throughout the day. We'll be here just for a short period of time, but the day will continue on and the stories will be told, and it's just kind of beautiful. I'm going to read one of Alan's poems. He wrote for Tom Constantin and his wife Beth on the birth of their baby. Birth. Into the night, a light flashes. A point of matter explodes into energy and moves outward, forming 50 billion galaxies, and constantly grows. We observe the infinite, but we live through the finite days, unaware that this birthing universe is our perpetual birth, that our sperm and egg, our atoms, genes, and molecules are the same star energy, ever expanding, forever reborn, and that every creation, every new child rings a thousand bells chiming to the end of the universe. Thinking of Tom Constantin that was with the Grateful Dead. What a mad playing guy, and he's still around. So we have somebody, Star was going to sing, Mel. You ready?
Hello. What a beautiful poem that was, and it kind of leads right into this song. I'm just so happy to be here today to celebrate this wonderful occasion of humans, and also just that there's people that still believe that we can all make a difference just by being and showing love, shining love, sharing love. You are all beautiful rays of light, and you spread that into the universe. You are the healers of the world. This is called Travelers. We are all travelers, travelers, travelers. We are all travelers, spinning on the same blue star. We are all travelers, travelers, travelers. We are all travelers, spinning on the same blue star. Open your mind's eye, your mind's eye, your mind's eye. Open your mind's eye and see the beauty of color. We are all travelers, travelers, travelers. We are all travelers, spinning on the same blue star. Smell the fragrance of every flower, every flower. Smell the fragrance of every flower. Understand, and then be free. We are all travelers, travelers, travelers. We are all travelers, spinning on the same blue star. What is to die but to be reborn, be reborn, be reborn? What is to die but to be reborn? Metamorphosize like the butterfly. We are all travelers, travelers, travelers. We are all travelers, spinning on the same blue star.
Woo. Woo, that was good.
All right, my name's Jeff. I'm gonna, since nobody came up quick, I'm gonna say something real quick. This is something that came to me a while back, a number of years ago. And we don't need the reverb if I'm not going to sing. It's called All for One or One Design. So, what comes from the light as it splashes on leaves? What comes from the leaf as it falls from the tree? Why question the existence of all that we see when everything provides something we need? The interconnection of need feeding need. A step on the ladder, a link in the chain, a block for the building, a track for the train, a channel, a vision, procession of light, marching through infinity and out the other side. Consciousness seeding the garden of life, consciousness feeding the garden of light. If you took it away and wiped the slate clean, will evolution or pollution write the next scene? Is it a vision? Is it a dream? Is it a cog in some massive machine? No, it's primordial chaos being refined. And that's it.
Anyone else want to queue up to perform? Let me know. Keyboard player, talk to Jeff.
Good afternoon, friends. Well, it won't surprise you to hear that I wasn't at the BN in 1967. Although one gentleman who was Gary Snyder, the preeminent San Francisco Renaissance and beat poet. Gary's poems, through his early embrace of Eastern spirituality and environmentalism, grow more and more poignant every year, as I think they become a wonderful source to turn back to for inspiration in the times we face in the coming years. So I wanted to share one brief poem by Mr. Gary Snyder. This one is titled Rip Rap. Lay down these words before your mind like rocks placed solid by hands, in choice of place set before the body of the mind in space and time, solidity of bark, leaf, or wall, rip rap of things, cobble of Milky Way, straying planets, these poems, people, lost ponies with dragging saddles and rocky sure-foot trails, the world's like an endless four-dimensional game of go, ants and pebbles, in the thick loam, each rock a word, a creek-washed stone, granite, ingrained with torment of fire and weight, crystal and sediment linked hot, all change in thoughts as well as things. That was Rip Rap by Gary Snyder.
Thank you. Let me know if anyone else wants to come up.
I'm going to play a little, this is a Nate Beluga. I'm going to play a little harmonica with some accompaniment here. But I just wanted to mention in the evolution of the hippies, we're celebrating the birth of the hippie event 50 years ago right here. It happened. The hippies were born. And think about it. Culturally, there was kind of an evolution from the beatniks to the hippies. Lawrence Ferlinghetti was here for that event, for example. So I'm going to play this in honor of the beatniks that were there to support and evolve into the hippies. Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Amazing.
Anyone else ready? I'm going to fill a moment. I believe there's a keyboardist. Can you set up the keyboardist while I fill some space? Can you hold this for me, Sammy?
Yeah, sure. Get your setup.
It's running. Yeah, it's going. Just hold it. Point it at me, please. Again, I want to thank everyone that's here. Look around. Hug somebody. Thank you for coming. I want to thank Annie Cohen for asking us all to come out today. I want to thank Alan Cohen and the Oracle for originally issuing the call. I want to hope that today we spark another time, another space, another place where all these values can once again blossom. I see darkness. We need to project our light. Let it shine, everybody. Look around. Be in now with yourself in peace. I want to read you one more work while the keyboards come up. Let me know when the keyboard player's ready, please. Okay, let's gather over there and we'll have a gathering, a moment of silence. professional?
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a rack or not?
He's going to put it in his lap.
Yeah. Cool. What's your name?
Sean.
Are you going to sing or just play?
Just play.
Okay.
Next up is Sean. Again, anyone that wants to do anything, just let me know and we'll key you up. Looks like I got Sammy. Anyone going after Sam? So, keyboards, then Sammy, and then let me know who's after. And we just found some reading glasses out in the crowd. The reading glasses are up here if you've lost some.
I think they like the sun over there. It's nice and warm.
That was beautiful, and maybe he'll come back. Elegy for Jerry Garcia, August 9th, 1995. It was the 50th anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki when Jerry faded away. It was a day the music paused, but we know it will never die. It was a day when his karma took hold and led his soul away. Will we ever know where? Will we ever know why? His hands could make the cosmos rock and roll and shake all over. Only his hands playing his guitar, his body immobile, a vehicle for the orphic soul. His music tamed the wild heart. Everyone danced when Jerry played, arms reaching towards the sky. His harmonies vibrated the soul, and millions understood the ideals the music embodied. Peace, love, community. Heal the hostile heart. Love the creation and help each other. Orpheus is dead. The next new Nova will be called Jerry's guitar. Blessings to Jerry and all our friends that have gone to the other side and are up in that great, big, huge music. The hippies and the anti-war movement unite. A human being developed out of the success of the Love Pageant Rally, the first of San Francisco outdoor rock and roll celebration that Alan Cohen and Michael Bolan helped organize, and through the friends in the Oracle staff and the people in the neighborhood. They felt that the ideals of peace, love, and community based on a transcendental vision could transform the world and end the Vietnam War. Alan and Michael Bowen centered most of the organizing energy for the be-in from his pad at Haight and Masonic. Michael had spent time with Timothy Leary in Millbrook, and he was a mystic hustler who Allen Ginsberg had called the most convincing man he had ever known. Alan and Michael arranged for it to be a worldwide media event. Bowen and I had become, this would be Alan's words, Bowen and I had become concerned over the philosophical split that was developing in the youth movement. The anti-war and the speech movement in Berkeley thought the hippies were too disengaged and spaced out. Their influence might draw the young away from the resistance of the war. The hippies thought the anti-war movement was doomed with endless confrontations with the establishment, which would recoil with violence and fascism. We decided that to strengthen the youth culture, we had to bring the two poles together. In order to have a human being, we would have to have a big powwow. We met with Jerry Rubin, Max Scheer, and other Berkeley activists that shared our ideas about directing a magical conscious energy towards the Pentagon and rising the Pentagon. And from there they went on, and they invited Rubin and Jack Weinberg to invite and speak at the be-in. The gathering of the tribe is a unit of love and activism, and it was an overwhelming success. Soon there were be-ins and love-ins from Texas to Paris. And that was just a very brief about this beautiful seed that we planted 50 years ago and where we've gone now are our youth. Okay, so Sammy, come on.
How you doing? I was only 10 at the Summer Love, but I was on 8th Street for a couple days. And all I remember as a 10-year-old on Haight Street was it smelled like Mexican weed and incense. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to say is this is the best time in the world to be alive right now, because we got a fight coming up, a fight against evil. And to me, life's greatest calling is to fight evil so those that come after us can live in a free and peaceful world. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Sammy.
You know, the four-letter word you use to fight that four-letter word is L-O-V-E.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jess. Thanks for having me here, and thanks for having this. Again, I'm Jess. Thanks for having me. Peace and love to everyone around the world. How sad-colored earth would seem. How gray each water stream. If flowers were dead. God said, let there be flowers. Let there be streams filled with showers. And then decreed my lazy hours should pass in water meadows filled with flowers. Thank you. Peace around the world.
Do you have another one?
I do.
Oh, good. That would be really nice.
Okay. This is called the Song of the Lavender. I am no terrace flower, vile hands and foolish talk escape me. I grow in the hot brown dust, loving not men but man. No slave, no city thing can touch me. Come to me in the water, heart of Arabia, far from the dwellings of pale men, for my delight is there. I am the mistress of hermits. Wild bees, deer, and the bitter absinthe are my sisters. I am free girl, knowing not market. Lust seeks not me, but the wild rider seeks me. I would wish you come to the valleys, where the breeze kisses me at morning. I would wish you to lie near the wine of me. Allah, Allah. Even the camel boy telling me forgets his oaths.
Min and Anderson, do you want to do something I taught?
Thank you.
Please take a breath. Are you ready?
She's
working it.
Thank you,
Jess.
Hi, my name is Min Anderson. And I worked with Mr. Chet Helms in Denver in 1948 by serendipitous... 49. No, that's my birth. That's the year of my birth.
That's cool.
1968 in March in Denver. And after working with Chet, I wrote a poem about him that I'd like to read because we need to remember Chet. Chet Helms gave a major contribution to our era. And after working with him, this is what I wrote about Chet Helms. He fit in and out of our time as one who belonged. He dove off the high dive of life without making a splash. Like a mosquito eater, he wisped, scaling and carefully exploring the length and breadth and expanse of his territory. His shadow loomed when the light was low, where the paint was chipping, where the carpet was stained, where there was rust in the sink from water dripping. Across a street, a neon light is blinking above a cheap motel. It finds your face through a window without a shade. It blares into your sleepy eyes. The traffic on the street never stops, but the household sleeps because Chet stays awake, gobbling up the bloodsuckers and other pests that go buzz in the night. Like a good father, he barters for food and clothing, and before the sun comes up, trades for warm socks, winter coats, blankets and medicine. He is our chief, a wampum bead negotiator, a medicine man, a fur trader, a frontiersman, and a true pioneer. He is a man for an hour, a day, and a summer. And when the weather is fair, we roam around barefooted. The women share flowers, beads, and feathers. They are love farmers. They nurse babies. They tend gardens, they glean like Chet, and they care like Chet, and like Chet, They advocate for children and other living things. Where there was a need, he met it. Though he was poor, he made others rich. Where there was silence, he made music. And when the electricity went out in Denver, he made light out of thin air. I saw Jesus in the man, and he made a true believer out of me. Thank you.
Thank you for honoring me as really well. Good. He's a good friend. Thank you. I think Ashley was going to do something, and I'm going to do something. Does anyone else want to go before we wrap up this particular segment?
Yes, go ahead. I'll finish it off.
All right, I'm going to just read a little bit of some words here. Stargazers, trailblazers, gypsy souls of ancient old, understanders, lend a handers, welcome home wherever you roam. Magic makers, merry pranksters, human being mischief instigators. Slip in through time and space, where the wheel turns our souls to grace. The secret space of dreams is there. Do you believe? Where I dreaming lay amazed, when the secrets all are told and the petals all unfold. When there was no dream of mine, you dreamed of me. I dreamed of you. And here we are. This is not new. Leave all your worries behind you. Let all those things wash away. Let your soul overwhelm your mind and forget about the whole concept of day. Fly away with the eagle. Hover above the clouds. Sit on top of the world and watch the sun go down. Grandmother is watching over you, and the stars are her million eyes. Learn to walk in balance, using the moon as your guide. Come with us to these isles of happiness. I promise you'll have lots of fun as you turn back into a child and dance with the wee ones. And this is the aisle.
I would like to thank Jeffrey Hellman for enabling our event today. I never met the man, and he responded, and he showed his heart, and here we are together. Maybe that's proof that if we simply open ourselves to communication, we can achieve anything that we choose to do if we stand with each other. I believe that. I'm going to do two final works out of the Book of Milton. The first one is a little bit stark, but it's real. And I was raised in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure that had part of it too. It's called The Mine. And I also want to thank Annie Cohen and her husband, Alan Cohen, for bringing generations together in love. The miner looked at me. His face was a plea. His life was as hard as the stone that he mined. At night, he'd go drink at the company-owned bar, returning all the money he had just been paid. His wife was bruised and battered, a victim of the mine. She had lived in Shamokin since 1969. She was the daughter of a miner. Her mother had known the mine transcended time and people. The sole goal was coal. Their lives, a name on the company's roll. I left knowing time couldn't change the mine. Their children would soon replace them in that hole. And the generations will stay until the coal company goes away. I'd like to acknowledge all the people standing at Standing Rock and the epitaph. The mine came crashing down. The miner's body will not be found. He lies 1 mile beneath the ground. He died in that hole. His life, $1.50, a ton of coal. And from despair to inspiration, a piece called Surfing, about each of you. If you can feel your own inner space, this is meant for you to take as you are. I really want to thank you all for being here. It means a lot. There's going to be a big event here in June. I was told the permit had been pulled yesterday, so I'll go out on a limb and say that it exists. I believe it exists. I believe the people that tell me and the people that I love. We're going to bring 100,000 people together here. I believe it's going to be the first Saturday in June.
We don't know that yet.
But we have not yet confirmed that date. We know that the permit does exist. Your life has its own current. Fight it if you dare. You can ride it freely or fight it and lose your hair. The current is sometimes swift, sometimes slow. Occasionally you make a choice, a direction, and you find that you must row. But your life will truly know where it's supposed to go. And if you just let go freely and follow your path as it appears, with hope and courage to persevere, your destiny becomes more near. And when the sun shines upon your skin and you feel the warm rays upon your face, seems like there's nothing that you can't face. But when the wind blows and all that's left is the snow and the cold, you have to look deep inside and find your core, and stay on your course. Who are you? What do you value? How can you help? Can you save the world? And walk your path patiently. Learning, growing, looking deeper inside, because it was always inside, in your mind, in your soul, pure, clear, unrelenting. Because you are born to be who you are, you inherently know to find your talent and to use it, to live your spirit and live your soul, to mend a fence or a heart, to help, to learn, to grow, to love and experience and feel all life can offer and be all you can be, yourself, perfect as you were born to be.
Thank you so much, Milton Rosenberg. Thank you so much for helping us and being such a guide to so many and helping with the youths. I'm going to read a couple more poems, just and then we'll get on with our day. People will wander around. It's not about the microphone. It's about just being and enjoying, because it's from one. It was 50 years ago. Alan wrote this in 2000. It's 20 after. Where are you? Are you on this beautiful planet? Are you making peace or war? How did you get here? It's 20 after. Albert Hoffman has stopped his bicycle. He is watching his mind and the world change. It's 3 years after the 20th century, and the time has come for the resurrection of the human soul and the healing of the planet. Creation, innovation, manifestation. Make it. Do it. And one last, in honoring of us all, I sing of one, of how we create each other, by day in sight and word, at night in dreams, and how we are created by the clay soil and the redwood, giant redwoods that spring from it, the winter rains, the embrace of the fog, the clear water the hills collect for us, by the heat of the sun and the glow of his winking wife moon, and their myriad children glittering and dancing when sun and moon sleep, and how we create ourselves given the finite capacity to act out our lives and loves, drink a handful of spring water, breathe the north wind, plant a seed, and sing. Alan Cohen, 1969. Blessings to us all. Blessings. Thank you. And we keep going.
And there's the show this evening.
Oh, yeah, the show this evening, right, at the Grand Theater at just between 23rd and 24th on Mission. Wish we'd had a bigger space because...
There's no tickets left.
I know. Yeah, but that's okay. We're going to come back in May, huh? Right here?
Yes.
All of us?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Summer of love.
Summer of love.
May or
Thank
June.
You. That's it. What did you say?
May or June.
And for those of us who are activists, spiritual activists, next week on the 21st will be the Women's March. So I encourage everybody who's an activist and cared about the spiritual evolution to be a part of the Women's March here in San Francisco 1 week from today. Pantsuits are also invited.
So I'm going to play a little music, but it'll be good walk around music. So just kind of atmospheric stuff, I think, today.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm going to get a new, I'm pretty kind of sad about this one. I just upgraded it, found out that it doesn't do this video. It's the first time really is to go over there. The first time I have, it auto-focuses it, it looks so good. And I got this one, it's better for portraits, but I'm like failing. It's hard to struggle to figure it out.
Hey, how's it going?
I can write it down here. Can I try your auto harp? I never played one.
Walk here. Walk here from the game.
Yes, you can. It's out of tune right now. So I was last minute that I brought it.
Oh, okay.
But do you like
lunch? Just start with the auto harp.
Thank you.
cold fingers. Thank you. That's called sigitar. If you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, won't you bring it to me? Bring your sweet love, bring it on home. know I left. Oh, and you left me. Oh, now I know. Oh, where's my song? So won't you bring it to me? Bring your sweet love. Oh, to me. Oh, to me. Oh, to me. I'll bring you money. I'll bring you jewelry too. Oh, man, and all I do for you. So bring it to me. Yeah, bring your sweet love home to me. I'll always be your slave until I'm dead and buried in my grave. So won't you bring it to me? Yeah, bring your sweet love home to me, home to me.
Brent.
Brent on trombone. Jeff.
All right. Jeff, can we hook up the other mic and then I can sing accompaniment with you?
Except for the casing on that microphone is starting to fall apart, but I think we can work it out. Except you'll have to do it out of this amp over here. All right, we get a little impromptu jam session going here. Any other musicians that want to come up and sit in, hang out, and play, you're more than welcome. This is not just me. Every button's a chord.
That's my friend. My friends, if you want to see it, you can take a look at it.
Yeah. Every button's a chord. That's the thing I can't do when I drop off the chord. That's why it's going to hit one button.
She said it's out of tune, though. She said it's out of tune.
You guys can share this mic, you know?
Yeah. That sounds good, yeah. Yeah, I might take some accompaniment.
I just played harmonica earlier during the more of the reading part. I played reading harmonica. It's in a, this is a G harmonica.
This side slide.
We'll see what happens. You never know. The spirit of the
summer of love
being shine down upon our music today.
50th anniversary.
Let's see.
50 years ago today.
Think it was this cold 50 years ago? Probably was colder. Well, that was also five decades of global warming ago. But on the other hand,
50th anniversary.
Thank you.
I did. There's a case over there, but it doesn't have a pickup. But we could mic it. I've got one more I'm going to do, and then maybe Deborah will come up and play a song for us. Yeah, right. All right, that would be great. So this is an original. It's really not much of a trombone part. There could be a, it's in G. It could be a harp part. I don't know, listen, and if I... Let me know if you think you got something for it. All right, I wrote this way back sometime after the Vietnam War, during one of the next two wars. I can never figure out which one it was. But I wanted to break it out in honor of the occasion today. I haven't been doing it, but I think it's time to start doing it again. It's called Keep Up the Struggle. Germans, they're turning, come in online, what power drives them, and what does it leave behind? Radiation, it sticks around for such a long time, such a long time. Keep up the struggle, we're doing fine. Life in Ebola, the pieces will all fall into line. Keep up the struggle, be of a peaceful mind. Peaceful Who are the creatures living in the sea? Oh, could they know us? But then again, who are we to these creatures with harpoons and nets and greed? So keep up the struggle, we're doing fine. Like any puzzle, the pieces will all fall into line. Keep up the struggle, be of a peaceful mind. Peaceful mind. Now, who are the people living across the sea? Oh, could they know us? Oh, but then again, who are we to these people? The banks and tanks and Trump and keep up the struggle, you're doing fine. Like any puzzle, the pieces will all fall into line. Keep up the struggle, be of a peaceful mind. Peaceful mind. But what do we know
by greed. Just keep up the struggle, or doing fine. Like any puzzle, the pieces will all fall into line. Keep up the struggle, be of a peaceful mind. Peaceful mind. Peaceful mind. Thank you. Thank you very much. Keep up the struggle. Renew the struggle. Regroup and struggle. And do whatever we have to.